Good morning. My name is Anastasia, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Green Hunter Resource Operational Update conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Kirk Treflare, Chief Operating Officer, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the operational update call for Green Hunter Resources this morning. Before we begin with the content of today's call, I'd like to advise you that today's call may include forward-looking statements within the meaning of Section 27A of the Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Our presentation may include statements regarding our expectations, beliefs, and intentions or strategies regarding the future. Such forward-looking statements may relate to, among other things, the company's operations and revenues from those operations. These statements are qualified by important factors that could cause a company's actual results to differ materially from those reflected by the forward-looking statements, including those factors set in the risk factor sections of the company's publicly filed documents within the SEC. This disclaimer is in effect for the duration of this conference call. And with that, I'll turn the call over to Gary Evans.
Thank you for taking the time this morning to allow us to update you on the Green Hunter's activities. It's been a while since we had a call. Obviously, we're completing our annual report and Form 10-K for the period ended 12/31, so we can't really talk much about numbers, but we can today give you some operational highlights. I think one of the things that maybe has taken a little bit of the concern out of Green Hunter is the placement of a couple million shares we did, actually funds today, which allows us to have enough capital to finish up one of our major projects, which is completing the Mills Hunter facility. We're going to give you quite a bit more detail there. But what I thought I'd do before we go into more highlights of our operations is to maybe talk a little bit more about the macro picture and how that affects Green Hunter and our line of business. As you know, over the last couple of years, we made the strategic decision to sell off our properties down in the Eagleford, which is where we had a large group of disposal wells. We ended up making some decent money on the sale of those wells because we had developed them. And we also sold or got out of our leases up in the Bakken, and we concentrated. We also shut down the Oklahoma facilities. So we felt like the returns up in the Marcellus and Utica were so far superior, the fact that we had such a large footprint in that region, and the fact that Magnum Hunter, as a sister company, had the ability to continue to provide us future disposal wells because of their large portfolio of a couple thousand acres within their own asset base. So that transition over the last couple of years obviously took some time. We had to sell a number of different assets in various PSAs down in South Texas, but we got that accomplished. At the same time, we've been trying to build out the portfolio up in the Marcellus and Utica. So let's again talk about the macro. As most of you know, oil prices have dropped from about $100-$110 a barrel that we experienced last June. The real precipitous drop began right around Thanksgiving, and we're dealing with mid-40s to high-40 oil prices today. At the same time, we've had a drop in natural gas prices, not as dramatic, but gas prices hanging around the 4 to 410 range, hanging out today around $3. The strip this morning was 301. So how has that affected our business? Well, the first thing you need to know is that we don't have very many oil properties that we gather and transport brine or salt water from in this region. There are some legacy old oil properties that are the shallow wells that have been there 20, 30, and 40 years that will continue to produce where the oil is at $30 a barrel or $120 a barrel. So that legacy production will continue to to obtain water from, but that's just maybe at most 10% of our business. Our business is really from new drilling of Marcellus and Utica wells and the subsequent production that comes from that new drilling from their operations. So with that being said, we haven't seen at this point much of a slowdown at all up in this area. There have been some reductions in budgets, but that's off a much higher level than, you know, we've ever experienced in the past. So our business today is greater than it's ever been, and we don't anticipate any form of slowdown. In fact, the reason that we're building out new facilities, the reason we're drilling new wells, the reason we've just made offers on buying additional wells is to expand our portfolio because our customers are demanding it. So it's truly an anomaly, this Marcellus Utica region, because the rock of both the Marcellus and the Utica is so incredibly good. Companies can make a very good rate of return at $3 gas, at $2.50 gas. Now, costs will continue to come down for most service companies, but we don't anticipate that occurring all in the disposal business. And everybody goes, well, why is that the case? It's because there's not enough disposal wells, and most of the other wells that are competition are owned by the mom and pops that don't have the proper checks and balances of having an environmentally friendly facility. The locations are bad, and our customers are demanding top-notch facilities because of the liability associated with that. So we believe that our future is quite bright, and we continue, as we announced today, to execute take-or-pay contracts. A producer does not execute take-or-pay contracts when he thinks his future prices are going to go down. That would be absolutely foolish. He's doing that today because he's worried about having a place to take his water. And the water business in this region continues to grow exponentially. We are fighting to keep up with the demand that we are seeing. So where do I think the business is going over the next couple years? I think that the Marcellus and Utica will continue to get a significant amount of capital contributed to it. Actually, when we see a few companies slow down, our business picks up. People go, how does your business pick up if you're slowing, if the drilling rig market is slowing down drilling new wells? That's because there's less recycled water. A lot of companies are taking water, putting them in storage tanks like our mag tank, and are using that water and recycling to frack and drill additional wells. Well, if you're slowing down at all, you can't recycle. You can't store that water. Those tanks sit there open, open lid, get filled up with water and snow, and so they have to dispose it. So it's actually, we've seen a pickup in business because a few companies have slowed down. So it's also important for you to remember that about 75 to 80% of our business is produced water. What that means is it's not frack water coming from new wells, it's legacy production. So every time a company drills another well or two, our business goes up. The base goes up because those wells all produce some form of water, and all that water has to be disposed of. So unlike experiences you're seeing like up in the Bakken, where you're seeing the rig count drop like a rocket, the Eagle Ford, where you're seeing rig counts dropping, the Permian, where those three plays are predominantly oil, you're going to see a drop in water disposal. So most of our competitors that have facilities in those regions undoubtedly will see a drop in their water production. Green Hunter is experiencing none of that. It's the complete opposite. So let's get into a little more of depth of our operations. One of the things that we're very proud of, you know, we've been working hard to get our new proprietary mag tank out. We have been successful negotiating a very attractive lease with a major oil company, and that mag tank is going out as we speak, and it'll be up and running here in February. So we're happy of that. This oil company has ability to to take these mag tanks and educate their other divisions, whether they be in the United States or around the world. And we're pretty excited about just breaking through the door and getting one mag tank out sitting in the hands of a major oil company. We kind of kept this low profile just to kind of, because we weren't prepared yet to spend the capital, but we are now. And so that's the U.S. Coast Guard approval that we have finally gotten. It took us 2 years to barge brine down the Ohio River waterways and tributaries in the region. And that will be going to this Meigs County, Meigs Hunter facility that we're going to be talking about today. So not only are we expanding the disposal well count at that facility, which will double the throughput of Green Hunter's daily volumes, but we have a barge facility at that location. So we can bring water via barge into pipeline into these wells, and we can also truck and store water at the location. I'm going to let Kurt give you a little more detail of some of the take-or-pay contracts that we continue to enter into. And it's also important for you to know that Ritchie County, which has been one of our better wells, we have just drilled a new well. The well is TD'd, and they're logging the well. And that well should be on production, I guess, within a week or 2 weeks. And that will pick up another 2,000 barrels a day. So lots of good things happening. This little capital raise was an important one. We probably will raise some more money. Not sure when that's going to be. But getting these Meigs County wells on production is a huge shot in the arm for Green Hunter. We're very excited about where we sit today. And you should also mention there's another liquidity event coming into our company in March, and that's the final payment of our facility located out in California. This is the last renewable asset that we own. It's a biomass plant. And that facility, the buyer has been making monthly payments now for almost 2 years, and the final payment of approximately $1.3 million comes in about a month and a half. So there will be another liquidity event that will now allow us to continue to develop these wells, to complete these wells, to complete the facilities and the barging that obviously has zero dilution to our common shareholders, which is something, as you know, we've strived to minimize. So with that, I'm going to turn the call over to Kurt and let him give you a little more detail of the things we've announced this morning. Kurt?
Thank you, Gary. So we'll go through some of the operational highlights that we've listed for you guys in our press release for today's call. And then upon completion of that, we'll take a few questions at the end. The raise of the $2 million was significant to Green Hunter, and the majority of that obviously will be deployed to the Mills Hunter facility. As Gary mentioned, that is our number one project right now on our list here at Green Hunter, and it's a project that really changes the face of the company for a couple of reasons. One is the total injection capacity that it will bring to our company. It basically doubles our injection capacity once we turn the switch on at Mills Hunter. It basically takes our injection capacities from a little over 15,000 barrels a day to upwards of 32,000 barrels per day. That's significant, obviously. The other thing that you know brings to the table down at Mills Hunter is the ability to barge, as Gary mentioned. You're talking about a project overall that was in upwards of $3 million of CapEx spend. So, you know, bringing that additional $2 million into to the company to finalize that project and facilitate the opening of that facility is tremendous for us. Just so you understand, I mean, we do have two wells that are currently on at Mills Hunter right now, today. Those wells have been on for quite some time, and adding the additional four wells is going to be the key. Now, one thing that is significant as well, the second thing, is you know, the CapEx that we're deploying to Mills Hunter, on top of the equipment and the pipe that we're putting into the ground, the above-ground tanks for storage and things like that, the facility is pretty much built out. So we have to add a couple of additional pumps, upgrade some power, and then the operations of that basically requires only one other operator. So the G&A stays pretty flat, which allows us to ultimately take that revenue that comes from the facility and goes directly to the bottom line. So the other things that, you know, the build-out of the barge terminal and the storage tank to allow us to offload 30,000 barrels of brine fluid in a singular move is one thing that towards the end of the project will be installed as well. So, you know, the fourth quarter announcement of, you know, when we received our approval to barge brine really gave us that final push to get to the finish line on the Mills Hunter, something that we had been working on for 2 years, as Gary mentioned. And then at the same time, as we were working with the United States Coast Guard to get approval to barge the brine on the inland waterways, we were also working with the Corps of Engineers to get our approval to install the barge terminal down at the Meigs County facility. We have both of those permits in hand now and are ready to move product on the inland waterways. So, you know, to touch on that and cap that particular instance down at Mills Hunter, is remember, we can do, you know, 10,000 barrel barges, up to 30,000 barrel barges, which significantly decreases the cost to our exploration production companies out there that we work for, and, you know, does other things, reduces truck volumes on the roadways. Those transportation charges, reduction in transportation charges on the highways are significant to our margins improvement and also cost savings for our clients. So that's the one that we've been pushing for. I'm glad we finally get to announce it, and you'll see us working to get that online as soon as possible. The other thing, one of the other highlights Gary mentioned to you guys about the mag tank going to a major oil and gas company in Appalachia Basin, the initial term is a six-month term with that company. Obviously, we're not allowed to disclose who that company is due to PR restrictions and not being able to announce it in the press release. But soon enough, that will come to fruition, and you'll be able to see who that is. And hopefully, we can take that from that one division in Appalachia and move it around the country as well. We've already supplied that same company with some proposals to take to other basins in the country. So that's exciting, and that'll be our third deployment. The initial two tanks that went into the field, into operations at the beginning of last year, those tanks have been moved around from pad to pad and, you know, mobilized and demobilized at least 10 times or so over the last year and between the two tanks. And that vendor is really happy with the way those tanks have turned out for them and the efficiencies that it's brought to their completions program. We've talked about the barging transportation on the Ohio River and the inland waterways. I guess the next thing to discuss is the take-or-pay contracts. As Gary mentioned, you know, after you have a significant portion of the Appalachia region, upwards of 90% or so, that is typically recycle reuse. They use those in their presentation. The E&P companies use that number in their presentations quite frequently. And those numbers, you know, we can validate those by saying, you know, 75 to 80% of our volumes or injection capacity are produced fluids, and we'll continue to see those increase here shortly as some of the drilling slows down. You're starting to see these E&P operators give us a call on a daily basis, trying to secure capacity at the wells because they don't want to have to rely on that day when their pumper out on the field is wants to shut in a well due to fluids being in the tanks. We've increased that. Our disposal volumes on taker pays approximately about 60,000 barrels or so per week right now, and we're continuing to field calls to increase that on a daily basis. The majority of that, obviously, as we mentioned here, will be handled at the Mills Hunter facility with excess of 16,000 barrels or so a day at the Mills Hunter facility. More than 50% of our daily disposal capacity now is take-or-pay contracts. That's significant to us, you know, and they range from either two-year term contracts, some of them out there to five-year contracts. So that puts us in a place where we can focus on growing our injection capacity over the next couple of years and try to get ahead of the market. You know, currently, we've said in the past, we've done a little research. It looks like we're approximately 40% of the market share in the Appalachia region, and we're slowly trying to gain that and get that above 50%, whether it be through organic growth or through acquisition. The last thing that we'll touch base on, I guess, from the highlights or so, has been the disposal well down at Ritchie. As Gary mentioned, we TD'd that well, and we will work as diligently as possible to get that well online. It's in one of the best areas in West Virginia. If you guys realize, West Virginia only has 17 commercial disposal facilities throughout their state, and the increase in the Marcellus and the Utica crossing over into West Virginia has put a strain on injection capacity in that region. So we're working as hard as we can to get that well online. I think that's the majority of the operational highlights that we wanted to discuss. So with that, I'll turn the call back over to Gary.
We're getting ready to take some questions. One thing I wanted to touch on that I think both Kirk and I failed to mention is that while we were waiting on the permit from the U.S. Coast Guard, we had to do quite a bit of studies and permitting along the Ohio River to allow us to barge. All those environmental permits have been received, muscle studies and things that you have to do to be able to build terminals. And so it wasn't that it was completely lost with respect to the time delay with the Coast Guard. We have now completed, paid for, and received all the studies. So we can begin the construction necessary immediately. So with that being said, I'm going to allow the operator to dial in some of our listeners who would like to ask some questions. Thank you, operator.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Michael Hoffman with Stifel. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Hello, Kirk and Gary. Happy New Year, and I appreciate the conference call update. I get the comment about pricing holding up because there's tight capacity. But as you know, sitting on the other side of the fence at a Magnum Hunter, your side, that side of the world tends to be pretty aggressive about coming at vendors and just kind of laying down the law saying we're going to pay you less. So what helps you have confidence that that doesn't happen, regardless of the tight capacity?
It's a good question, Michael. The difference is the other basins, let's look at all the other services other than disposal. All those services are mobile, whether it's a drilling rig, whether it's a frac crew, whether it's a light plant. All the things that come in and out of a location are mobile. Disposal wells are not. They're fixed-based operations specifically designed for region. That's what makes the disposal business different. Now, Appalachia Basin, the reason we have such a big percentage of the market share, the reason that our customers are demanding more disposal capacity, are giving us take-or-pay contracts. I mean, think about that. Why in the world would anybody do a take-or-pay contract today? It's because they have searched the market over, and they can't find a place to take their water. So we are in the unique position of being the largest customer, but more importantly, we have built our facilities to meet all the safety and environmental standards that these big companies require. And why is that so important? Well, there's been a couple of very significant instances where disposal companies have done things illegally. They've either dumped the water in the Ohio River or down storage drains. And guess what? The little mom-and-pop disposal guy, he goes out of business, but who gets tagged? It's the producer that has that water that brought it to that disposal facility. So there's a whole litany of companies I can name up there that all of a sudden it gets all the way up to top brass of those companies that we aren't going to take our water to anybody unless they are running a top-notch operation. And guess what? We get We get environmental reviews sometimes every 2 weeks, but at least once a month by these big companies. So they're sending an environmental team out to our operations to make sure we're doing everything proper. And so it's not only a lack of disposal wells in the area, it's a lack of quality disposal wells that can handle the business. So we're hitting both sides of the equation. And then the third is, we have customers say all the time, you guys do the best job. Your dispatching operation, our trucks don't have to wait in line. We manage our business better. We are professionals in the business, and we manage it better. And we run the business like an oil and gas company. You know, yes, we're a service company, but, you know, I'm running Magnum Hunter, and I'm thinking, what can I do to cut my costs? So I'm pushing Green Hunter all the time is, do this better, do that better, so that we aren't paying so much. Well, that gravitates to all the other producers. Magnum's, what, 15-20% of our business today. The other 80% is a multitude of 20 to 30 customers. So the things we do, I think, are received so well by our operators. We never lose somebody because they want to leave. We lose them because we don't have enough capacity.
Okay, fair enough. And if the new normal is a significantly low oil price, and with it probably that we stay and have been in a low gas price for a while, when you think out over, not the next 6 months because it's going to be lumpy, I get that, but if you thought out over 2 or 3 years, what do you think is changing about this part of your business, you know, complex, you know, in the, not the the Magnum Hunter side, but the Green Hunter side, and how you would prosecute your business model? If the new normal is, we're on a long term, it's going to be, these are low prices.
What do we do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Do you need to do anything differently? I mean, and so the threads I'm pulling on are like, does the rate of production, the rate of addition of new production, how much can that compress, and if it, you know, what's the rate at which that compresses that, you know, you hit a plateau and you've got a nice business, but it can't, there's no incremental growth because it kind of just flattens out. It's stuff like that. If we're in a long term, we're just our new normal is low commodity prices.
Okay. Well, I'm not a believer of what you're suggesting, but I will take that worst case scenario and outline what we're doing. Just because we've got such a big market share of the business up here, what are we doing to help our customers? Helping Magnum and helping all the other customers that bring us water. We're trying our best to cut transportation costs.
That's the biggest share
of disposing water is transportation. And where does that come from? Trucking. So that's what has led us to the barging side of the business. That is what's led us to the pipeline side of business. The area is becoming mature enough where you have sufficient quantity of wells in a region that you can justify terminals along a river to gather and move water down the river, pipelines and receiving facilities in a field where there's enough wells that it allows you to concentrate. No different than a gathering system for Eureka Hunter, our pipeline division. It's been maturing now. So our goal over the next year is to begin capturing that trucking business that all those producers are having to pay and cutting those costs. So instead of paying $8 a barrel to move water, $10 a barrel to move water from Pennsylvania, they're paying $4 a barrel to move water from Pennsylvania. Doesn't mean our disposal costs are going to go down. It means their trucking costs are going to go down. That's the area where we think we can make a major impact to this whole region, is trucking.
And to add to that real quick, Michael, this is Kirk, is it gives us an opportunity to access different counties and different portions of the states of, you know, Pennsylvania, northern Ohio, customers that were typically going to disposal wells in the northern section of the states, that it was just uneconomic to get it to our wells further down south, whereas we can show them a cost savings now by transloading to a terminal which is closer than the ultimate ending point of the disposals that they were delivering to currently, and then grab some of that volume, the additional volumes away from our competitors, because we can do it more efficiently.
Okay, fair enough. And then two more quick questions. Great news on the barging. There is some incremental capital needed, so this is coming in steps. You successfully execute the expansion of Mills, Hunter, and Ritchie. You get the $1.3 million from the sale of biomass. But the capital for barging is a little more meaningful. So I'm presuming we've got to, prove to everybody that all this is going to produce nice results, return the business to free cash flow, and then you can revisit more conventional, maybe your equity at a higher price or the debt markets to fund the barging opportunity. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're exactly right about that.
Okay.
We're taking it in steps. One thing, though, I think it's important for you to know, our last bank note payment on our disposal wells is in February. And that means that the original disposal wells we bought back,
2012
are paid off. So that means that every one of our disposal wells are encumbered with no bank financing. So, at the same time where we've struggled to build out the asset base, we've been paying off a buttload of debt. And so you'll see that hit. So we do recognize that we still need capital to grow, but as you said, we think we can do it at much higher equity values. And we've proven that we'll raise capital when capital is needed, and we will.
Okay, and then last question, the preferred Series C preferred, you could do something theoretically by June. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, we actually are talking to a couple financing sources about maybe buying some of that back, because we could buy it back at a discount today in the open market. So that's another idea that we've been working on.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, and great news.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Jim Collins with Portfolio Guru. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. Morning. I jumped on a little late, so apologize if you covered this. But can I get the exact or approximate completion dates for both Mills Hunter and Ritchie Hunter? When do you think both will go online?
Well, we just kicked off. Obviously, we're receiving funds today to complete the Mills Hunter facility, as far as to get the wells online. And as Michael mentioned in his statement, his follow up. The barging terminal it comes later, right? So
right.
We think we can still get the wells online by the end of Q1 of 2015 in the first quarter. We're going to have to really push it to get there. We've had some delays, obviously, through the funding aspect of it, but we are about 75% complete on that project. So it's just expediting, and we've had meetings as late as yesterday in here to tackle that project full steam ahead and put additional resources on it starting this week.
Ritchie,
we've TD'd the well. Obviously, there's some things we have to do. We've got to do our separate tests, traditional well technologies and completions techniques that we have to do to the well. I think it's a first quarter 2015 event, barring any thing that. Unseen problems that
so
we may have.
What we're, the guidance we're giving the street is that we think we can have both of these on by the end of March. So it's going to take us basically 60 days to complete all this. The thing about Mills Hunter and Ritchie both is they're active facilities. So in other words, there's equipment, there's housing, there's a facility, there's pumps. So it's not like starting one from scratch. Both are added wells on existing facilities, and that speeds up the completion time significantly.
Okay, and just one other one. Yeah, Gary, your conference call Friday on Magnum Hunter was pretty awesome, I have to say. And the when you went through the laundry list of liquidity options, so I'm wondering, I mean, you've named a couple things here, the $1.3 million for the biomass, you know, no more payments on the wells, on the banknotes themselves, but is there anything else out there? Is MLP still a possibility? Just the sort of liquidity options that you have for Green Hunter, as you did for Magnum Hunter on Friday.
Sure. Good question. The MLP is definitely out there. We filed the revenue ruling letter now, what, 6 months ago, Morgan? And as you know, the IRS has held up all letters, so we're waiting on that. We think, again, we're an ideal candidate for an MLP. And, of course, with the things that we've outlined today that we're changing will make that even more palatable. So, you know, as I'm sitting here today, I'm hoping that Green Hunter becomes an MLP in 2015. I mean, that's would be my objective. With respect to other capital sources, you know, raising this little bit of capital that we've done kind of takes the concern off the table that I think a lot of people had about the company. And we did it smartly. We did it at market. You know, we didn't have to take a big discount. And if you notice, the warrant coverage was minimal. So we really have always done our best to protect the common shareholder, of which I'm the largest. And so if you're a shareholder, I'm protecting you just like I'm protecting me. So we felt like by doing this equity offering, by having this call, the stock would move up because it's way undervalued. And it's doing that. It's doing exactly what we thought it would do. And that will probably at some point enable some additional capital raise. But I can also tell you that we're getting lots of financing, more senior debt, more secured debt opportunities because, you know, banks and specific funds are not concerned about our viability now. They see what we see down the tunnel, and therefore capital becomes more readily available. And they're also seeing that we're different than a lot of the service companies because of all the things I outlined at the beginning of the call. So I think the window of capital sources expands dramatically for us, and we will be accessing those. We'll do it smartly, we'll do it prudently, and we'll do it when it's absolutely necessary.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gary, and thanks, Kirk.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jim Kern with New Salem Investment Capital. Your line is open.
Hi, can you give us some idea of the incremental funding needed to finish off the barging operations?
Yes, the barging facility over at Mills is approximately an additional, a little over $1 million to finish up the Mills by putting the terminal in the river, adding the line that needs to be laid from the river to the storage tanks. And then we've got some upgrades that need to go to a couple of the other terminals that we have positioned along the Ohio as we head north. We've got, you know, a couple of $100,000 of upgrades to do at one of our facilities that we currently have now as a terminal at New Mount Morris. And then another $1.5 million or so to build out the Wheeling terminal up north. So all in for three additional barge terminals, you're looking at about $2.5 to $3 million.
Not a big number.
Okay, and at that point, what would be your barging capacity?
On a daily basis, how much?
It's down. I mean, it's basically controlled by your injection capacity, right? So, I mean, the Mills Hunter facility alone will do 16,000 barrels a day once the wells come online. We can disperse to other disposal wells in the area, you know, several thousand barrels a day more incremental increasing. So
see,
we continue to do that, that will continue to go up.
See, our goal is trying to eliminate trucking. So, you know, we don't do that if we barge down the river, go to a facility that requires us to truck the water from the barging terminal to disposal well. Our goal is to barge down a river, unload in a terminal, and pipe that water to the wells. So that's why the Mills Hunter facility has become so incredibly important. It's also important to note that, you know, Meigs County as a drilling county is not in the heart of the Marcellus or Utica. It's further south, but the geologic formations allow us to inject more water. That's why we chose this region. That's where our geological engineering background has been so beneficial, is that rather than have, you know, 20 disposal wells that can take, you know, 1,200, 1,500 barrels a day, we're going to have five or six that can take 16,000 barrels a day. So it's that region, and of course, choosing wells that are right along the river was important because, so this has been a kind of a mastermind plan for some time to get wells that can take more water and to get wells that are right along the river. And that's what we did here.
It's an efficiency process that, you know, currently at today we have to, like Gary mentioned, we have to transload that product from our New Matamoros facility down to mills for injection. That currently today, you know, even in today's lower fuel cost, is still costing us upwards of $2 a barrel to transload from that terminal down to mills for final injection. When we take that from barge and looked at the mileage and we did our comparisons by loading a barge at Newmat, taking it down to mills, that cost to transport that same volume goes down below a buck. So it's significant to our bottom line.
Okay, thank you. So you are getting trucking down to mills, you will as soon as you get it really going, and then, but I assume you're not going to really utilize full capacity until you get the barge going. So is that a first
statement? Mills is 100% utilized right now. We have two wells online at Mills, and it's running at 100% daily.
But when we go to all the capacity, yeah. We don't, just so everybody knows, we don't have to have barging to get to Mills to 100% capacity. We've already sold Mills capacity out without barging. So that just shows you the demand that we have, and so barging will be an incremental savings and will benefit the company once we do that.
There's new formations and different areas that we're looking at that are even further south that will help us to maximize the efficiencies of barging, and even if mill stays full just via truck, we can continue to go south. There's other areas we want to develop to help facilitate the growth and have some opportunity for higher injection capacity the further south we go.
Okay, thanks. One last question related to, so how long does it take to, if you had the money now to get the 2.5 to 3 million of upgrades taken care of for the barging?
It's the terminals themselves to get them ready for barge would be, you know, we've gotten them to the point now that we have all the permits in place. And have all the designs and engineering done for everything, it's as quickly as 6 months, 6 to 9 months.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
Thank you, everybody, for taking the time today. Hopefully, we have one more.
Phil.
I'm sorry, Phil Dodge. Sorry, Phil. I'm about to cut you off.
We do have a question from the line of Phil Dodge. Your line is open.
Thanks for the comments. I've got a couple of questions. First, are there third-party terminals along the river and the waterways that you can use while your own terminals are being completed?
Phil, yes, good question. We do have some terminals that we've negotiated some throughput agreements with that we can start our barging processes while we're in construction. But as we mentioned, I mean, the key to that is getting the offload terminal at Mills. We have to have that up before we can finally rest the barge and offload a barge down at Mills. So that's the project parameter that holds up everything. So that's the first terminal that we would actually have constructed.
Yeah, okay. And then did I hear you mention that you could buy or lease existing saltwater disposal wells? Because, you know, that might be a change from what I remember before. There were none or no attractive ones available.
Yes, we actually made an offer yesterday for a disposal well for purchase. So answer is yes. There are a few, you know, they're like finding a needle in a haystack, but we found one that is for sale. It's in a very good area, and we did offer to purchase that yesterday. It hasn't been accepted yet, though.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And Phil, we continue to scour the network of wells that are out there, whether they be through Magnum's inventory of wells or any of our other. We've had some of our other clients that have come to us and offered us the same thing, to look at other wells that we could possibly convert if they're near their acreage position, to convert to disposal wells. So we still do that today.
Okay. Thanks. All the best.
Thanks, Phil.
We do have another question from Jim Curran with New Salem Investment Capital. Your line is open.
Yeah, just curious if you could disclose whether Gary or any other management was involved in buying the stock on the offering?
No. Actually, the offering was done with only two institutions, but I can tell you both Kirk and I here, and you'll see the forms filed today, converted some of our debt that's owed by Magnum, I'm sorry, by Green Hunter here to equity. So we participated from the standpoint of taking existing notes where we had loaned the company money and converted them into equity at the same time as the equity came in. So that's, we both, what, did $100,000? So
yeah.
We put our money where our mouth is, if that's what you're asking.
Right. Great, thanks.
Okay.
We do have another question from Michael Hoffman with Stifel. Your line is open.
A mechanical question. Do you have your reporting date set yet for 4Q?
No.
March 30th.
It's on or before March 30th. So we have the auditors coming in here. What about
it's all based upon the auditors.
Really, we're ready. You know, as you know, auditors, we've really cleaned up the accounting side here. Got a great CFO that's done a wonderful job. And we changed accounting firms to BDO so that we would have accounting firm that had the experience to do MLP. And so we're really at their mercy of their schedule, and they're scheduled to come in here early March.
Okay. So you would expect you're probably late in March.
I would say the second half of March, yes.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Thanks.
Okay, operator, I think we've gone about an hour and 20 minutes, or 50 minutes, so let's conclude, okay?
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.